Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Hello, my name is Kent Hovind. I taught high school science and math for 15 years, and in 1989, began a ministry called Creation Science Evangelism. I travel and speak on dinosaurs and the Bible, and we want to strengthen your faith that the Bible is exactly correct and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. The world is not millions of years old. They're lying.
Hello?
Podcasts are verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Dave Allman?
Approach and identify.
Hello?
This call is an official notice from the IRS. Internal Revenue Service. The reason behind this call is to inform you that the IRS is filing the lawsuit against you. To get more information, try to reach on our immediate department number, which is 518-300-3575. I repeat, 518-300-3575. Thanks.
Man, battle station special.
Chief of the Watch, sign the general alarm.
From the Buy With Rob studio, located in beautiful Silverdale, Washington, this is the Dave Bowman Show. Now, here is your submarine qualified, well-coffeed, stuffy, elitist history buff host, Dave Bowman.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, flaking on Kavanaugh, robocalls, 900-year-old dinosaurs, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Well, I'm pretty sure that the Kavanaugh nomination is toast. I've been wrong before, but this time, no. So where do we go from here? By next year, half of the phone calls you receive will be so-called robocalls. How's that government solution, the do-not-call list, working out for you? And then, were dinosaurs just 900-year-old lizards that kept growing? They never stopped getting bigger? Of course not, but don't tell people in Alabama that. They think otherwise. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. Area code 209-565-3283. Email is Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And of course, we're on the web. Just look for us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and whatever web browser you use. We'll take you to thedavebowmanshow.com, where you can find all of the shows. They're all there. Maybe some other things too, but shows are definitely there. Eloqui conitio. Greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. Well, baseball playoffs are off to a good start, huh? I mean, depending on whether you're... The game was great. It didn't have the outcome I was hoping for, but the game itself was really good. It's weird because most of you know I grew up in Denver. I am a huge Broncos fan, but I absolutely despise the Rockies. I just hate them. Their ultimate commitment to mediocrity has annoyed me for years. And about every 10 years or so, they'll have a good season, and everybody will get on the bandwagon because, gosh, those Rockies. What I really hate about them is their logo. Their cap logo is horrific. I mean, it's just bad. Okay, you got Los Angeles, San Francisco, Arizona, San Diego, and Colorado, five teams in the National League West. Okay, all of them have hat logos, obviously. Arizona has an A, okay? San Diego has an SD. San Francisco has an SF. Los Angeles has an LA. And for some reason, Colorado has a CR on it. And I know the R stands for Rockies. I get that. But it looks like crap. The colors are to start with. But the logo itself looks like crap. I would have done it much differently. Same color scheme. They could have done the same color scheme and just lifted the C from the Colorado state flag and just have a C. If it just was a C, it would be great. But anyway, that's not the thing that really... I've hated the Rockies for years, which is weird because I'm from Colorado. You'd think I'd be on the Rockies bandwagon. I'm not. Never have been. Probably never will be. It was hard not to pull for them in 2007 against the Red Sox, who are the most annoying team in baseball. But, you know, that didn't make me a Rockies fan, per se. Anyway, I guess they move on now. Hopefully Milwaukee will just absolutely slobber knock them, and we'll get our Milwaukee-Los Angeles NL Championship Series. That's what I'm hoping for. Right? I mean, that's what everybody's talking about today. I missed the hugging play. I didn't see it. I had to take Ben to bed. We take Ben to bed at 8 o'clock, make him read for an hour, and I gave him an extra half hour because I wanted to watch the end of the game. I thought it was going to end at 9, and so I actually gave him an extra half hour. That didn't happen. I thought, I can't let him stay up any later. So, and then he has this thing where you have to stay there with him while he falls asleep. So I missed the hugging. Sadly, I saw all the huggings on Sunday, but I didn't see that one. Alas, life goes on. Well, I've tried to avoid it just because I don't care. I mean, I really don't. I know it's the biggest news story in the country, and I know everybody, every talking head in radio is blabbering on and on about this from one side or the other. The Kavanaugh nomination is toast. Okay, I'm just going to go out on a Brett Kavanaugh will not be confirmed to the Supreme Court. It's not going to happen. I know I'm a conservative, so I'm supposed to rail about how he's been mistreated and how everything's been, you know, mishandled, and all of that is true, I think. I certainly see that there are some major league problems with what's going on here, but the bottom line is, what's changed in the Republicans that makes you think that they have any spine at all? What, really? I mean, nothing's changed in them in the past 25 years. They don't have what it takes. They don't. They're not looking at that. They're not considering the entire picture, I'll tell you that. Neither side is. But neither side has the wherewithal to understand the damage that's being done by both sides. Brett Kavanaugh was a problematic pick from the word go. I mean, I told you this the day he was selected. I didn't like him. He's a nice guy, I'm sure. His speech the day that his nomination was announced, Pat, the lawyer, and I were texting back and forth about the speech, and it wasn't so much the delivery, it wasn't so much what he said. Well, it was what he said, because the things that he said, if you go back and look at that nomination speech, were specifically targeted. Remember in that speech, now that you've been through all of this, do you remember in that speech that he specifically went out of his way to talk about how he treats women? You remember that? Foreshadowing? Who knows? I find it hard to believe that they didn't know that this wasn't going to come up. In the same vein that I find it hard to believe that Dianne Feinstein didn't just sit on the letter because, you know, she could have done that. If this was really something she cared about, she could have done it confidentially with the FBI, except that it was her office that leaked the letter in the first place. But be that as it may, The whole political game here has been to stop Kavanaugh. Stop Kavanaugh. It's not even really about Kavanaugh. It's stop Trump. Stop Trump. Stop Trump. Well, they've done that. Jeff Flake has flaked. He's made it clear. He had an interview in The Atlantic yesterday. He's made it clear that he will not support the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. He did so only because of whatever. And then once it gets to the floor of the Senate, I would be very surprised. Now, I've been wrong before about things like this. It's not unusual. I mean, in this line of work, when you're trying to predict something happening, it's you're kind of going out on a limb. It'd be kind of like me saying the A's are going to win by 7 tonight. I mean, I hope they do, but is it a reasonable prediction? Probably not. And am I still right if they only win by 1? Am I still right if they win by 15? You see the problem with that. I don't think that he's going to be confirmed. I've thought that from the day the accusation was made public that he wasn't going to be confirmed. The bigger question is, where does that leave us? Where does that put the court, which started hearing cases on Monday, for this particular session. Well, obviously, if you're looking at it in terms of teams, I guess, it's 4-4, four conservatives, quote unquote, and four liberals. Again, I think the liberals are fairly set. I mean, they're fairly reliable. They're going to vote liberal. They're going to vote progressive on cases where I don't think the conservative side is quite as set in its ways. Sure, Thomas and Alito are. I'm not convinced that Chief Justice Roberts is a hardline conservative. I'm just not. I mean, based on his rulings, you'd have to argue that he isn't. So I'm not so clear that it's going to automatically be 4-4 on everything, because that's the way we do things. The bigger question is, what happens now? Brett Kavanaugh's nomination at some point is going to be withdrawn. Either he's going to withdraw, the president's going to be forced to withdraw, or he's going to be voted down. The Senate will not vote to confirm him, which is probably the most likely, if I were guessing, the most likely outcome is that the Senate will say no. It'll be close, but they'll say no. Ultimately, I think Flake and the two milquetoasts are gonna vote against it, and that's going to be the end of it. So what does the president do then? Well, obviously, the outcome of the midterm elections is going to have a big impact on this. Obviously, the outcome of the midterms, it's being treated as a referendum on Trump, and maybe it is, maybe it ain't. I know back in 2010, we were told that it wasn't a referendum on Obama. In 2014, we were told it wasn't a referendum on Obama, but now it is a referendum on Trump. Okay, fine. Even if it is, there's no way in hell that the Senate goes two-thirds to the Democrat Party. It's not going to happen. Anybody that thinks that that's going to happen, well, they're smoking something. So impeachment is out the window. I mean, they could bring impeachment charges. The House could, presuming that the Democrats take the House. And again, that's a presumption. I know the predictions. But remember, at what was it, 6 p.m. on election day in 2016, it was a 95% chance that Hillary was going to win, and she didn't. So I don't put any faith in those. I don't accept those things. I do think that there will be, based on what happens here with this nomination, will change the dynamics of the midterm. Obviously, if he is confirmed by some chance, and I personally don't believe that there's much of a chance of that, but then again, I didn't believe that Merrick Garland, whatever his name is, the man with two first names, wouldn't be confirmed either. But be that as it may, if he is confirmed, the Democrats use that as the war on women campaign thing. The Republicans are putting another man, another white cisgendered male Catholic on the Supreme Court who hates women. And they'll use that to energize their base. And if he's voted down, what do you think is going to happen then? How do you think the Trump base, how do you think the people that elected Trump in a big old game of Angry Birds, that's what I called it at the time, how do you think they're going to react? And as we were talking about yesterday with the second Civil War idea, the idea of so many Americans are disengaged, would you lean more towards the people who voted in Trump's favor being more or less engaged than the people who voted against him? When it comes to voting, I don't give a rat's behind about registrations. I don't give an idea. I don't care about rallies. I don't care about any of that stuff. The only thing that matters is voting. And when push comes to shove, what happens in vote? You know, when that takes place, I think there's going to be some blowback. And I think that both sides should be prepared to understand that there's going to be a lot of blowback. There can't not be. People are going to be pissed. People are righteously outraged over what they've watched happen. They've watched as what they, you know, whether you believe Kavanaugh or the professor, it depends solely upon your political alignment. Very few people are looking at this dispassionately and with factual evidence. They're not looking at it going, well, this is right. Everything has become about tit for tat. Everything has become about, we've got people out there saying, we don't care if he's innocent or not. It's time to make an example of someone, right? Which is exactly the same thing that happened on this day. When was it, 95? Forgot the year. Alex had it in the news there. I was sitting in a Shoney's restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia, having breakfast because Shoney's was famous for its biscuits and gravy. And I know it's crazy, but I love biscuits and gravy. I love, can't have it very often, but I like it. So there I was sitting there eating at Shoney's, and the announcement came down of the verdict. And the restaurant was almost evenly split racially. And one half of it erupted and one half of it didn't. One half of it gasped, one half of it cheered. And, but one of the comments that was made that I heard with my own ears was, we finally got one. With the attitude of it didn't matter if he was guilty or not, it didn't matter. It was all about the outcome, not what really happened. And this is the same thing. If there was really any interest or concern beyond the politics of that, this would have been handled much differently. You know it. I know it. We all know it. So really, there's no sense in not looking at it from a political eye because that's how it's being treated. But I truly believe that from the moment that accusation was made public, and really from the moment Dianne Feinstein announced that she was sending a letter to the FBI, it was a done deal. He is not going to be confirmed. Now, again, from a pragmatic sense, I'm disgusted by what has happened. I really am. The way that this has been handled. Sorry, I got stuff all over my glasses here, and I'm not sure how, for those of you watching on video. But the ultimate result is I wasn't a real big fan of Brett Kavanaugh to begin with. So I'm not really all that heartbroken about it. I'm disgusted by the way that this has been done. I'm disgusted by the fact that all of these hearings found no, you know, there were no questions. Everything was either softball or self-promotion. That's all it was. And at the end of the day, it didn't accomplish anything. And now we are here. So what happens now? Well, the court sits 4-4, depending on what, let's take the presumed outcome, which is that the Democrats take the House and at least tie up the Senate. They may not take it, but at least it's 50-50. Let's just take that assumption, or they even take it, you know, 52, 41, 48, whatever. They have control of both houses. Let's put it in those terms. Theoretically, the president has to nominate an ex-nominee. Now, Donald Trump is no Ronald Reagan. He's no George Bush. What do you think he's going to do? Is he going to go back and say, okay, I need to nominate a moderate? Do you think that's what he's going to do? Or is he going to pick, if he even makes a nomination, do you think he's going to pick someone who is more conservative than Kavanaugh, just because he knows that the Democrats are going to block it? That's an interesting political play, because then he uses that and the Republicans can use that in their next run up to the election, or the Democrats are just obstructionists. Yeah, go back to the 2016. I actually said this. I got to find the tape where I said this. If you think the Republicans were obstructionist under Obama, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing compared to what's going to happen now. And I turned out to be right. So if he nominates someone more conservative in an attempt, Trump's not the guy that's going to buy into the argument, which is, well, I've got to cooperate, I've got to placate, I've got to work with them. That's not what his base wants. It's not what the people who elected him want. It's none of that. I don't see him doing that. Again, it's possible that he could, but the probability is pretty low. So what do the Democrats do then? Do they continue to block that? Do they say, no, this one we'll be okay with. What if it's a conservative woman that he nominates? Do they even hold hearings? What do they do? And so you have this, now you have this set up. But in the meantime, you've got this court meeting and hearing cases, and theoretically it's 4-4. And you're going to have some cases that are, you know, obviously 8-0. You're going to have some 3-5s. You're going to have some 2-4s. You're going to have something like that. But the big cases, the big, you know, important cases like Gundy and Granby, those are going to be 4-4s. Which means that the lower court ruling has stayed in place, right? Now, what happens to Kavanaugh if he loses, if he is defeated in his nomination? He goes back to the D.C. Circuit Court. And we could sit here with this 4-4 thing going on for literally 2 to 3 years. And then what happens? Then the big what if happens. What if one of them passes away or resigns? steps down, retires. What if Ginsburg finally passes away? Now it's 4-3 conservatives again, theoretically anyway. And the president could just continue to nominate people who are never going to be confirmed and maintain a 4-3 court. There's a whole lot of moving parts to all this that neither side has really considered. They've not really thought this through. Neither have they thought through that karma is a bitch. If you think this is the first and last time this is going to happen, you are sleeping. You are totally out of it. Believe me, the next Democrat nominee is going to, I mean, if I were the next Democrat president by some chance, you know, I'd nominate a complete clown, knowing full well that it's going to be a fiasco. It's going to be a farce. It's going to be just what you've watched here, only worse. And you're going to have people pointing fingers at each other going, well, they did it first. Well, they did it too. They did it last time. Merrick Garland, me, Biden, pointing fingers at each other and yelling at each other. And it's going to be hysterical. If you're like me and you like chaos, it's going to be funny. If it weren't so sad, if it wasn't so pathetic that it's almost an international embarrassment to watch what's going on here. And yet at the same time, I guess for me, you look at this and you just go, well, neither side is thinking long term. Neither side is thinking about what this is going to mean at the end of the day. Paybacks are a bitch. They really are. Karma will come back and smack you upside the head. And I keep going back to this because to me, this is the biggest issue. The most important court in the entire country. I know people go, well, the Supreme Court, it's Dave, it's the Supreme Court. It must be. But keep the fact in mind, which is that the Supreme Court does not have to hear every case. It doesn't have to. But the district courts are a little different. And which district court is the most important one? Which is the district court that hears all the cases like Obamacare, anything that has to do with Congress, Washington, the president? Where does that go? The D.C. Circuit Court. And where does Judge Kavanaugh go if he's defeated? And again, I suspect that he will be. Where does he go? Right back to the D.C. Circuit Court. Now, again, human nature is what it is. I know a little bit about human nature. I know referees. Yeah, the referees the other night missed a call in the Monday Night Football game, and I tweeted about the fact that replay is about getting it right. Replay is about getting it right. Except when the referees clearly mess up, that's not reviewable, and we don't do that. And it's theoretically possible, I don't necessarily believe it, it's theoretically possible that that call cost one team or the other the game. I don't think it did, but it's theoretically possible, and people will make that argument. But I also know referees, if you don't show them up, referees know when they made a mistake. Referees know when they are at fault. And if you don't show them up as a coach or a player, they generally will be, I don't want to say they won't cheat in your favor because they won't cheat in your favor, but they'll give you the break, the benefit of the doubt. This is especially true in basketball. Never show up a basketball referee, even if you know he's wrong, because he will make up the call. By either not calling something on your team or calling some ticky-tack foul on the other team or whatever. They'll make up for it. But if you do show them up, you are going to get called for everything that's imaginable. If you embarrass the referee, well, they've embarrassed Kavanaugh. Do you think he's going to go back to the Second Circuit Court? And, you know, when Democrat suits come before the Second Circuit Court, do you think he's going to be all that fair about it? I mean, he's not going to be unfair, but do you think he's going to listen to arguments that maybe before he would have listened to? You didn't think that through very well. You just didn't think it through very well at all. Neither side has, neither side did, and karma is a bitch, and it's going to be payback hell. And again, if you think that this was a circus, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Judge Kavanaugh, we'll go back to being Judge Kavanaugh. We'll go back to sitting on the Second Circuit Court, unless he decides to step down. I can't imagine that he would, but maybe he will. I don't know. Maybe he could probably make millions writing books and on the you know, lecture circuit and those kind of things. Maybe he'll decide to do that. It's certainly possible. Doesn't seem to be his style to me, but then again, I've been wrong before, as I've said. In the meantime, his nomination is toast. We're just waiting for the toaster to pop it up and go, okay, go away. It's burnt. I'm not going to eat that. But it will have reverberations, and those reverberations will be felt around the nation. People are going to be pissed. And I don't think, I'm sure that Dianne Feinstein didn't take that into account. I'm sure that Chuck Schumer did not take that into account. I'm not sure that anybody took it into account. Not everybody. I'm not sure anybody thought about what they're watching and what's going to happen because of this. And when you consider that people voted for Donald Trump because they were tired of this kind of nonsense, that's what we're told, right? How do you think that's going to play in Peoria? They didn't think about it. They didn't consider it. They didn't work about it in those ways. And ultimately, I think that's going to be the problem. Ultimately, I think it's going to be a huge issue. But again, I've been wrong before. So I guess we'll wait until I don't know when to see if there's a vote. And if there is a vote, how that vote goes. But I predict that vote will be no. And he will not be confirmed. And he will not be on the Supreme Court of the United States. That's my prediction. Take it for what it's worth. I know it's going to piss some of you off. I know some of you are already typing. I can hear you typing on your keyboard. Dave, you're so wrong. It's not in front of you. How can you support this? I'm not supporting it. It's borking. That much is clear. It's politics, folks. Politics is a dirty game. Politics sucks. It's filthy. And it's carried out. It's played by people who are even worse. Paid by the same people that paid $17 million of your money to cover up their sexual transactions. So what did you think was going to happen here? That's right. But that's my prediction. It's half past. It's the Dave Bowman Show right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Stay with us. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, this is YD from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
You are listening to the Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back. Tis I, Dave. Want to join me? Area code 209-565-DAVE is the text machine, voicemail machine. Email is dave@thedavebowmanshow.com. Of course, we're on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and thedavebowmanshow.com. All of those places you can comment on. By the way, if you're going to iTunes, can you leave us a rating and a review? That would be helpful. We're going to go to all this effort. It'd be nice if you get that. Anyway, I don't know about your life, but my life sucks right now. I don't know what has happened. My phone rang 22 times yesterday. 22 times. Now, under normal circumstances, I'm lucky if I get 3 calls a week. I mean, not a lot of people, well, several people have my phone number, but very few people have a reason to call me. Normally, I do business by text and email. I don't like to talk to people. I don't like telephones. I hear voices in them. No, I'm kidding. I don't really like telephones. I never have. Even back in the day, the greatest invention in my lifetime was caller ID. I grew up in an era, kids. Grandpa Dave talking here. I grew up in an era when you didn't have caller ID. Phone rang, you answered it. And that was that. And depends on, you know, whatever, but at the same time, people didn't call you unless they had a reason to. And if they didn't get an answer or they got a busy signal, they went, they're either not home or they're busy. And they didn't start sending you texts going, why aren't you answering my phone calls? Caller ID was great because now I could, if it was my parents, I could answer it. If it was my my girlfriend, I could answer it. And if it was something I didn't have any clue what was, I just ignore it. And I still have caller ID, but these calls have started coming in. And now that I'm in, you know, I'm in business and I do things and I have business relationships with people and I, you know, I consult with people and I do thing and I conduct business. My people have to call their people, except that my people is me and I don't know who their people are. And so my phone rings and I pretty much have to answer it now, even when it says that it's a call from, let's see, who was the one this morning? Cause I got one, two this morning. Let's see, Bayonne, New Jersey. I don't know anybody in Bayonne, New Jersey, but apparently I might be doing business with somebody in Bayonne. I don't know. The only thing I know about Bayonne is that once upon a time, the Navy used to run commercials saying port of call, Bayonne, New Jersey. Like that was a selling point for joining the Navy, right? Bayonne, New Jersey. Anyway, I got 22 calls yesterday. One of them was from my wife. One. The other were from all these different various numbers, and they were all robocalls, and so I would answer. And so I get to the point now where if I don't know who it is, I answer it in as weird a way as possible. My favorite is to pick up and go, hey, the fat one won't fit in the wood chipper. What do you want me to do? And I never get any reaction. What I get is this dead silence for about 2 seconds, and then it's a recording that says, don't hang up. We're calling you about healthcare open enrollment. 21 times yesterday this happened. And apparently this is becoming a huge deal. And again, you know, it would happen every now and then. I used to love it when we were on the radio because somehow or another, the people that sell you auto warranties, you know what I'm talking about? Not the actual warranty that you get when you buy your car, but the people that sell you a warranty. Does your car have less than 130,000 miles on it? You can buy an auto warranty. Somehow or another, they got the station number, probably because of on the road, and they would call in the middle of the show. I'm calling to sell you an auto warranty, and I used to tell John, let him through. I'd love to talk to them on the air. That'd be great, but he never would. Anyway, so you get these calls, but now they're exploding, and people are noticing, and saw several articles yesterday from, I'm sure it was from the AP. Or somebody who wrote this. Yeah, Miami Herald. And it got picked up by every paper in the country basically yesterday. 50%, including Kim Commando, half of the phone calls will be robocalls by next year. Half of them. So everything from the scams, which are things like, you know, we're calling from the Internal Revenue Service. That's my favorite one. That's the one I got some time ago and I put it on tape.
This call is an official notice from the IRS. Internal Revenue Service.
You know, those ones, there's some humor in that, but at the same time, it's an annoyance. And there are people out there, saw a news story this morning about some elderly person that fell for this stuff, that fell for the grandparent scam. And, you know, it's just getting a little bizarre to see how this is going. And 50% of the calls that you get will be robocalls of this nature. And the robocall companies, by the way, are lobbying Congress. Now, before you get really excited about, well, what can we do about this? Congress came up with this national do not call registry, right? They allowed the regulatory agencies to establish a do not call registry. You put your number on that. They're not supposed to be able to call you. They're not supposed to be. It's against the rules. They can't do that. They're supposed to not call you if you are on the do not call registry. They don't care. Because they're using phone spoofers that come up with numbers, and there's all kinds of things that they do that get around that. So your congressionally determined do not call list solution to this isn't working at all. And they don't care. I don't know that I've ever read the story. There may be one out there, but I don't think I've ever read the story where a spam phone call company, a robocall phone company, that's launching these kinds of calls has ever been A, caught, or B, punished. I've heard about it for political ads, because a political ad, they got to tell you this ad is sponsored by so-and-so, and so they have somebody to trace it back to. But this call's coming from India or Pakistan or somewhere like that, some call center that's overseas. What are they going to do? what's the regulatory agency supposed to do? And so now these companies that are doing this are actually lobbying Congress to allow robocalls, but make them somehow or another in the technology, and I don't know how it does it, but somehow in the technology, so that it goes directly to your voicemail instead of ringing. So robocaller calls you because they want you to hear their little spiel about the IRS or, you know, this candidate or that issue or this bill or whatever, but it never rings your phone. It just goes straight into your voicemail. How annoying would that be? I got 22 of these calls yesterday. At least I could stop the voicemail by answering it. Hola, ¿cómo estás? At least I can answer it and then hang up. And, you know, even after they tell me, don't hang up. No, screw you. You can't tell me what to do. Then they want that to go. So 22 voicemails basically saying open enrollment or vote for this clown or whatever. I mean, jeez. Yeah. I mean, there's so many permutations of this, and some of them are scams, and some of them, you know, you do business with a company. I think the rules are that they can call you for a year, and that's fine. I mean, I got a call last week from Elliptigo asking me if I would participate in a survey. So I said, yes, I'll participate in the survey, but it wasn't really a good survey for me to participate in because it's been raining, and I really haven't been able to ride it lately. Plus, my right knee is making weird noises, so I'm a little concerned about that. Anyway, I don't know what to do. Now, I went and, you know, looked it up on the internet, and there were a couple of possibilities here. One, they make apps that you can put on your phone that are supposed to block these numbers. But then the apps are, yeah, this is just the basic version, but you need the premium version. Well, what the hell do I need the premium version for if the basic version doesn't do what I need it to do, which is block these calls? Why would I pay you more money for a premium version that does? Why wouldn't I just buy the premium version straight out? Why do you even offer the other one? So that seems like a scam to me. And then I found a website I saw on TV. I saw a website with a guy that actually has a website where you can go and you can enter the spammer's number. Okay, so like this one was Bayonne, New Jersey, 201-215-1288. Okay, so I can enter that into the computer, and then they have this little program that just basically screws with the scammer. I mean, it traces it back and ties up their line so that they can't make any calls. So I thought I'd try that. So I turned off all those apps that I installed yesterday, and I installed 3 different phone blocker apps, and then waited for the call. Of course, it came in at, let's see, what time was that this morning that it came in? 8:37. It came in and I was excited. All right, great. I entered the number and it said, can't do it. I thought, well, that sucks. So I'm back to turning those on again. And really, I don't know that anybody has a solution except government. What's government going to do to solve this? They already gave us a do not call register that they don't pay any attention to, that they completely ignore. So it's an odd thing about criminals. It's an odd thing about bad people. They don't follow rules. They don't follow laws. So how does making more rules and more laws stop it? I mean, obviously, the solution here is to catch one of these bastards and shoot them publicly. I mean, that's obviously the answer as a message to the rest of them, that this is what's going to happen to you if you keep doing that. But since we're not going to do that, I don't really know what the solution is other than these apps. But of course, you know, even as I've installed these apps on my iPhone, which has my, I don't know if you can see that or not, my Jellystone thing up there. Even as I've installed that, you know that they're trying, you know that they're technically working on the workaround for that. So it's going to be this constant battle. And of course, it's like spam email. You know why they send spam emails? Because they'll send out a billion of these spam emails and somewhere some idiot will respond to them. And it makes it worth them because it didn't really cost them anything to do that. And they rip this person off for $10,000 or $3,000 or whatever. And, you know, it's worth it. And the problem with these robocalls is that some people are answering them. Some people are accepting the calls and some people are falling for the scams. It's on the news this morning, which makes it worthwhile for them to do it. That's like the people at the corners with the panhandler. Stop giving them money. The only reason they're there is because some idiots are giving them money. If everybody would stop giving them money, they would go away. Instead of going to the police and the government going, what are we doing with these panhandlers? Stop giving them money. They'll go away. It's what I've said about illegal immigration from day one. You want to stop illegal immigration? Stop making it pay to be here. It's that simple. You can build all the walls you want, but if you still give away stuff, people are going to come. And at the end of the day, nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to shoot a telemarketer. All right, maybe somebody wants to do it, but technically it's against the rules, so you can't really do that. Speaking of against the rules, jeez, you see this guy down in Alabama? So this guy is a preacher down in Alabama. Played the thing for you at the beginning of the show about he has a new dinosaur land theme park. Like, nobody learned their lesson from Jurassic Park. But the purpose of his theme park is to explain to you that the Bible is biblically, is historically correct and accurate geologically, and that dinosaurs, the earth is not millions of years old, and dinosaurs were just 900-year-old lizards that kept growing. It's his words, not mine. So the way you get a Apatosaurus, and a T-Rex is they were all just little tiny lizards that lived for 900 years and kept growing. That's his theory along this whole line. And it's stuff like that just... I get a lot of crap for my faith. I get a lot of crap for my questions. I get a lot of people that get mad at me because, Dave, when you do talk theology, I don't agree with you. Okay. I don't care. I got questions. I got lots of freaking questions. And I got no answers to them. I'm getting no answers to them. And when I do ask questions, I get idiots like this who are down there telling me, the world is not millions of years old. It's 6,000 years old, and dinosaurs were just big lizards that kept eating everything, and so they got bigger for 900 years, and then they died in Noah's flood. And that's how this happened. My wife and I were driving back from Ocean Shores the other day, and we were having a conversation about science and religion. I don't know how we got on it. Was the car in front of us at Starbucks had a fish on the back of the window, you know, the Christian fish thing? And the fish had a couple of rocket fins added onto it, and it said science. And my wife and I started talking about this, and my wife is pretty devout Christian, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But it's not something that, and my experience has been that when you question it, when you ask questions, okay, here's a 3 billion year old rock. Just happen to have it right here. It is 3 billion years old. How do we know it's 3 billion years old? Well, number one, it comes from a formation that's 3 billion years old. And number two, it's been carbon dated and all that. Not carbon dated, but all the scientific tests that they do on that stuff. And I accept that as a scientific fact. All the science systems that we have tell me that that's a 3.5 billion year old rock. It's one of the oldest rocks on Earth. It's cool. That's why I have it. That's why we stopped to pick up these rocks, There's actually three of them. There's one downstairs that's huge. We actually picked up rocks that are 3.5 billion years old because I thought that was so cool. And my son thought it was cool too. And so we did this. And then I come across with people who in my own religious tradition, in my own religious faith of my childhood, who tell me that there's no way that rock's 3 billion years old. It has to be 6,000 years old because God created the earth in 6 days and it's 6,000 years old. And I have the same problem that I've always had. Anyway, Cammie and I were talking about this, and one of the things that was said in this conversation was, is it science that has as big a problem with religion as it is religion that has a problem with science? And I think the historical truth is that it's always been religion that has a problem with science. I mean, for God's sake, they locked up Galileo. They burned people at the stake for saying that the sun didn't go around the earth. Why? Because it challenged something in the church's in the religion idea of control of people. See, if there's an answer that isn't God created it or God did that, then somehow or another they lose power over people and you can't handle it. Well, we're in the same thing here, and that's what this idiot's doing down there. Somehow or another, if the world is 3.5, 4.5 billion years old, his control over his congregation suffers because now they don't need him to tell them what actually happened. Those people are lying to you. The world is not millions of years old. Dinosaurs are just giant lizards that kept eating. And the problem that I have with this, and this is the problem, sorry, I'm venting about myself right now. If that bothers you, well, show's almost over for the day. So the problem I have always had with this, and this is what drove me away from the faith of my childhood. It's very simple. God could have created a universe in situ, as it were, where the stars are hundreds of millions of light years away, and he created them that way, and the stars, you know, the light is just now getting to Earth, and he could have done that, but why would he? Why would he create this in such a way that it has to lie to me about what I know is a scientific fact in order to justify faith? Ignore what you see, what is reality, and accept mythology as fact. Why would we do that? Montague said it. People who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. People who can make you believe that the world is 6,000 years old, require you to believe that, can make you do other stupid things. Because you start following along. A&E has a great series about, you know, cults and people that are involved with cults and how they start doing things because they knew that they were insane. They knew that these things that they were being asked to do were crazy. But they loved the person that was doing it. And so they had to keep doing those things because, you know, that's why. And I get to this point right now where I have the same problem with this. This is why am I supposed to disbelieve this to believe your interpretation of a book that is neither scientific nor historic? And really, you don't believe anyway. You certainly don't do the things that it tells you to do. And how do I know that? Because this particular pastor who is preaching this nonsense ended up spending 10 years in prison for tax evasion. Nah, I'm not kidding. He spent 10 years in prison for tax evasion. Why? His argument was everything that I have belongs to God. So you need to talk to God. Well, you know, in the words of Ulysses Everett McGrill, maybe he might be square with God, but Uncle Sam's is a different matter. And by the way, doesn't your New Testament tell you to pay your taxes anyway? Just something I'm wondering about. I have this concern with this idea, and it affects me personally, and it's one of the things that drove my choice of faith. This is what I said all the time to people, is I needed to pick a faith that matched what I believe, not try to wedge my beliefs into whatever my faith tradition told me I had to. And I think it's wonderful that the tradition of my youth does, you know, great works and takes care of people and helps them and all that kind of stuff, and that's fantastic. But when I'm sitting there on a Sunday morning, I don't want to hear that the world is 6,000 years old, because it's not. And I can't accept a God that would have to lie to me about that. I can't accept that. I'm sorry. I know that seems strange, but it's true. I can't accept the idea, the concept of a God who has to lie to me for the sole purpose of testing my faith somehow or another, whatever that mannerism may be. And so when I see a story about a guy who's opening up a theme park to get rubes to buy tickets to see his 900-year-old lizards that never quit eating, well, I kind of hope for a Jurassic Park ending. I don't think I'll get it, but, you know, you get the idea. And that's where it comes down. I cannot accept a God that has to lie to me about what I can see with my own eyes. I can't do that. Sorry. I can no more accept that than I can accept a guy dressed up as a girl telling me he's a girl. He's not. It's not true. Just like this rock is 3.5 billion years old, that is truth. 900-year-old lizards eating until they grow too big is not truth. But somehow or another, well, it's a cult. That's what it is. They want you to believe crazy things so that you'll give them your money and trust and faith and everything else. And I just don't accept a God that needs that. But that's what I think. Anyway, that's what this... I realize that has nothing to do with you or Judge Kavanaugh, who will not be confirmed, or anything else, but it had me kind of jumpy all last night and today. All right. That puts a wrap on the show today. I got to get running. It's Wednesday. Short day today. Ben gets out of school early, so got to get running and got to take care of some stuff. I don't have any idea what we're doing on Constitution Thursday tomorrow yet, but we will be here at 10 o'clock for that. Please take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life. You love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so please don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I am Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. You can join us every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, right here on Facebook Live, podcast99.org. And then at thedavebowmanshow.com, you can download the podcast later on if you missed any part of the show and you want to catch up with what's going on and my opinions about why Judge Kavanaugh will not be confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. All right. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody, and we will see. What the? That is the weirdest commercial I've ever seen in my life on TV. I have no idea what that even was. I'm sorry, I got distracted by tea. I should really turn that off when I'm doing this. Anyway, I will see you tomorrow for a Wednesday episode of The Dave Bowman Show. Enjoy the rest of the day, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow.
Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.